247cash.com.
WNSR.
Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you are stuck in and your options to get rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of horrible timeshares for over 10 years and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. Get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. Once again, 800-462-3333.
You can't handle the truth.
It's about to go off. Live from the WNSR Strike and Spare Studios.
Just a bit outside.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Show me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
And a good Wednesday afternoon to you, and yes, it is time for the McFarland Show. Darren and Justin here with you, and we are live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. Maybe some crazy weather possibly coming in.
Oh, yeah. Listen, stay weather aware. It's not a game. It's serious. I've seen the damage for myself. We've already had one tornado warning here in Middle Tennessee earlier today. Out there in Livingston, for folks out there in that area, places like Overton County, Jackson County. So heads up out there from earlier this morning, but, it could get rough here later in the afternoon and evening. They're expecting after five is when activity will start to pick up here, across Middle Tennessee. So, I've seen all the models. I've talked to my weather folks personally. You know, I don't want to repeat their speculation. They've told me what they kind of think, but you know, bottom line is we think there's going to be damage. We don't know where, and that's the key. You know, there's going to be damage somewhere across the southeast. The problem is it's hundreds of miles wide where that damage could hit.
Yeah,
but they're confident that somebody somewhere is going to get hit by the storm and in a significant way. And we of course pray that everybody will be okay whenever it does get here, whatever that is.
You know what else I'm confident about?
What's that?
I'm confident that the cicada bugs are out.
Oh, yeah.
It's noisy out there. They're out. They're here. How long does this last?
This will last until mid-June or late July.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was quick.
No.
Oh.
No, this is going to be here.
Oh, this is the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're not full bloom yet.
Oh.
Oh. They haven't even started, like, mating yet.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they are starting to climb onto your walls.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere.
I saw some outside this morning, like.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh yeah. No.
This is the beginning.
This is the beginning. They haven't all fully hatched yet. We're still hatching.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're done by Mother's Day.
Not at all.
No.
No, that's like the day after tomorrow.
Memorial Day.
No.
Dang it.
No.
I didn't know
more.
You had to scream that loud. They have a mating call.
It's like, the way they do it in their particular species.
They're loud. Very
it's what
loud.
They do.
They're gonna get some attention.
It's gonna be. It's going to be around 4th of July before it's fully out of here.
Wow.
Then they're going to have a cookout and all their parties.
No, we're going to have a cookout.
No, we're the ones having the cookout. There are people already cooking them online.
Cook them.
There's a lot of that going on. There are recipes and everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Don't act like you don't know where you live.
For cicada menu?
You knew that was coming. Yeah.
Like a cicada sandwich?
They're frying them, baking them. Putting them in the shakes, whatever you got.
Putting them in shakes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, blend them.
Are they supposed to be healthy?
You know, they got me on that one.
Okay.
Because I normally tune out after that first, after you said you were preparing them.
I understand.
I normally tune out shortly after that. So the nutritional value section. I didn't get to that part. Didn't get to that.
Fair enough, because I would do the same thing.
Yeah, you know.
After rolling my eyes, like, what? Like,
oh, people what? Are cooking. Of course what? They are.
You're
okay.
Eat them. What?
Yeah, if you want more information, you can go over here to this website. And okay, moving on. Next story. Not getting
roasting
in, not getting
on
in
the
too
open
deep.
Fireplace.
Not getting in too deep.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving along.
Yeah, but I don't know you want to go from there,
no.
But you know.
I just, today was like the first day I really noticed like it was loud and I see them
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Some counties will get hit harder
so
than others.
So it'll get
too.
Worse just as time goes, it'll get worse.
Yeah. It'll reach a peak here in a few weeks. But yeah, this, we're just getting started. And by the way, you are one of the counties where it's going to get hit. So am I here in Davidson County. But there are other sections of us that won't get hit from my understanding. My understanding is places like Robertson County, Dixon County, we'll see less of them. I'm not going to say you're not going to see none, but you'll see significantly less than other places. So there are places where it hits harder than others. You know, we talked to a whole professor from Austin Peay about this who broke it down for us.
And really?
Oh, yeah. We did a whole segment on the Fox on the television side who broke down all the science of the cicada. Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to have Michael Gallagher join us in about 10 minutes or so.
He's not talking cicada.
Nope, he's not.
Okay.
He's
going to
be talking
thing.
About
okay.
the predators.
Oh,
and
okay.
They are done. They're not going to be here till
would
you say, late
July.
June,
yeah.
early July.
Early July.
Yep, no. Okay. Their season is over. So
okay.
they had their end of the year yesterday. And so we're going to get his impressions on that.
Mm-hmm.
We can discuss a little bit. I know we've got some stuff we want to play and
yeah.
and discuss. So we'll talk to him coming up here shortly. 3 o'clock will be Steve Lehman. So lots going on with the local teams, Titans, spreads, and all things local. But yesterday it was about the players and it was about the head coach and the GM. Talking to the media.
My focus was on the GM because we've been hearing from the players and coaches
yep.
for several weeks now during the end of the season, of course, the playoff run. I personally wanted to hear from the general manager who's going to be in charge of, you know, evaluating what's on the ice, then figuring out what he wants to do about what he has seen on said ice. So I wanted to hear from him, and there are a couple things that stuck out in particular, Darren, and let's get to the first one here. And that is about rebuilding. There's a lot of different ways to rebuild. Are the Predators in a rebuild, or are they just in a retool? How long is this supposed to take? What happens during a rebuild exactly? This is, I keep wanting to call a coach, but general manager, Barry Trotz, talking about the different ways of rebuilding.
If you want to be the worst team, it doesn't mean you're getting the best player. There's no guarantees. And, you know, I look at organization like there's a couple of organizations in NHL have been in a rebuild for a dozen years. I don't feel that was ever necessary. I think there's good enough players and we're in a good enough situation as a organization and a destination that we can find our way with different navigation than, you know, be the worst team, get the best player, and try to rebuild for 8 or 10 years.
So, in other words, if you were looking for them to sell everybody off and bottom out, he's not going to do that. He said it right there.
Well, anybody built rebuilding for 8 to 10 years, that GM isn't going to be rebuilding for 8 to 10 years. You're going to get fired.
The organization.
Like, you don't need
yes.
to rebuild for 8 to 10 years. If it takes you that long to rebuild, then you're all going to be fired. So, I mean, it just doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
But that is interesting. I mean, look, I call it more revamping is what they've done. They haven't rebuilt.
Yeah.
They're not retooling. I call it revamping because they've been nibbling on the, you know, on the outskirts
mm-hmm.
for years now. Like they, you know, interchangeable parts.
Yes.
But, you know, they haven't done a engine overhaul.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like they're going to do
that. And that's okay. That's fine. Because it's really hard to do when you have good players in place. It's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless you're just literally in sell mode and you just dump everybody. Well, I don't know how that's good business. I mean, you've got guys like Forsberg and Yossi, you know, and other. Well, I mean, you're not going to get out from some of the Ryan McDonough.
Yeah.
You're not going to get. Nobody's going to take that contract right now at this stage in his career at his age. You chose to take it, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's been a good addition, but you're not going to be able to finish out the rest of his contract, I don't believe, and somebody else just say, hey, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Although, you know, maybe I didn't think they could do that with PK, and they were able to find a suitor.
I mean, you never
with
know.
PK. So you're right. You never know.
The missing piece out there is that guy, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our opinions of a certain player can be very different than another organization's opinion of a certain player who've been watching these guys as we've learned through the draft process. You know, when they see them on television playing for the other team, that's not the first time they've seen them. They've been following them their entire careers, just like the team that drafted them has. So they have a good understanding of who this guy at least was supposed to be. Now, what he looks like on the NHL ice may be something different, but they are all familiar with every single player on every single roster to some level. The next thing that I wanted to hear from Coach Trotz is the big one, and that is about the goaltender. So what happens? What are they doing at goalie? And the answer is, they don't know yet. So here's Barry Trotz talking about the issue with goaltender. At some point here, standing by for Barry Trotz.
Good stuff. I agree.
Also, with Lankinen, he had a terrific year.
Hold on, pause. Let's
and
pause.
He would love to come back.
Let's rewind so we can hear the full clip here. Again, this is going to be Barry Trotz talking about the goaltending situation with the Predators team.
You know, I've talked to, Saros' representatives. Also, with Lankinen, he had a terrific year, and he would love to come back as well. But like you say, numbers will dictate that. And then Ashcroft's now in the playoffs, and you know, he's very close, but, you know, with goaltenders, you can never over-marinate goaltenders. So if the right fit is there, then, you know, you might have some more time. But if not, you know, we can go in a different direction. But that direction is not quite clear. We're going to do what's best for us as an organization and also for the growth of young Askren. We're looking.
So, I don't expect him to tip their hand or show their hand on that front. They do. They have tough decisions. Kevin Lankinen, I don't know if people view him as a starter. Probably. And somebody probably would take a chance on him being their number one goalie. I don't know, because he's been a number one goalie. He was on a bad team in Chicago. And look, we've seen a lot of guys around the league that you start and you're like, well, Lankinen's better than them, right? So I'm sure somebody would. And if that is the case, that's going to be tough, because Kevin Lankinen is like any other athlete, right? Like, okay, yeah, it's cool. I like being here. I enjoy Nashville. I enjoy the Predators organization.
Sure he does.
I like where I'm at, but, you know, I'm not really that interested in 25 starts a year.
I'd like to be a number one. If you get that guy in you, if you feel like you're the guy.
Because if he's okay with that, then, you know, one, I would question whether you can be successful at that level if you're just, like, complacent, right? Like, that's not a good recipe for success. I don't believe he's that guy. I'm sure he wants to be a starter again. This is what I know, Justin. This is for sure what I know.
Mm-hmm.
UC Saros is going to be a free agent after next season, so 2025. They got one more year at $5 million a year. What I do know, and I've seen some of this out there on social media for people like, maybe just, you know, keep Saros around, you know, sign him to another deal and let Askarov, you know, kind of like what he did with Pekka-Rinne.
Mm-hmm.
No offense right now. UC Saros is a really good goaltender. He's not Pekka-Rinne. He's not. Pekka-Rinne is one more games. He's been a bigger goaltender in big spots than UC Saros. Pekka-Rinne, they won playoff games. They won series with Pekka-Rinne.
Yeah.
UC Saros has yet to do that. And it's not like it's his first crack. It's not his second crack. It's not his third crack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I think it's unfair to compare him to Pekka. In my opinion, he's not Pekka-Rinne. He's really good. He's not Pekka good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about that. I just think he's a step below Pekka. Pekka had more skins on the wall. I think he had more stripes on his sleeve than UC Saros. So, and he was like 21 when he started backing him up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where Askarov is, what, 22 now?
I don't know. So.
I mean, they drafted him at 18. Maybe he's 22 now.
Scarf. On UC Soros, I think he's good. Do I think he's not the problem with the Predators?
It's a good way of saying it.
I don't know if he's the solution.
Yeah, that's another good. That's probably how I feel.
He's not the solution.
He's not the problem, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
he's the solution.
He's not the solution. You know, I think he did the best he honestly could in this past Stanley Cup playoffs here against Vancouver. The goals he gave up that ended up being game winners for Vancouver. I mean, I don't know how you honestly with a straight face hold him responsible for a couple of the goals there at the end. You know, Vancouver made the nice pass and they had him dead to rights and he hit it. I mean, it's just, you know, point blank is tough to go even when you're the best goaltender ever. You get him point blank, you know. He lost his last game 1-0. I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, how are you upset with him losing the last game 1-0 when they scored the last goal with a minute 38 to go in the third period? Is that really him? That's not him. So it's not like he was giving up 5 a night to Vancouver. That's not what happened. Is he good? Yes, I think he's good. Is he good enough with a team that has some more support around him? In other words, if you can put 4 on the board, can you talk now? Yeah. Yeah, you can. Is that his job? No, it's not. That's not his job. His job is not to score goals. His job is to stop goals. But if this team can produce more offensively, is he a guy that can take you far? He most definitely is. But the question I guess I would ask in that case is, well, is Lankinen also the same guy that if you ended up scoring 4 goals a night, could Lankinen get you the same amount of wins that UC Soros can?
That's kind of what I'm going with.
I think he could.
Could Askarov? I don't know. I mean, I don't know about Askarov.
We don't know anything about Askarov.
It's too early because we've only seen him start 2 games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was drafted in the first round for a reason.
Sure. No, and I imagine getting him here and getting him in more goals, more starts, will give him an advantage. I don't know the science behind starting a goalie too soon or too early or whatever that is. I have no idea. Maybe that's a good question for our next guest. I have no idea.
Right.
But go ahead.
Let's come back with Michael Gallagher, and we will do that next. We'll continue the discussion as you listen
to the McFarland Show on WNSR. We're National Sports Radio.
Do you feel like gambling is causing financial strain or hurting your relationships? The Gambling Clinic has been helping people who want to change their gambling habits for over 2 decades. With physical clinics and remote online appointments, we're here to help you make informed decisions about your gambling so it doesn't lead to a bigger problem. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com so we can work together to help you win your life back. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LIFT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code LIFT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LIFT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LIFT.
Ad paid for by Anthem Tax Services. Attention, if you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-240-4917 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free and the help is real. Call 800-240-4917. That's 800-240-4917. Again, 800-240-4917.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
It's a Bill King Show.
Interestingly enough, Jerry Curtis, Adam, I'm sure you saw this, over the past week has committed to Georgia. And depending on the recruiting service, he's either the top-ranked quarterback in his class. And in one of the services, they've got him ranked the top overall player regardless of position.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
You're listening to The McFarland Show live on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Rolling along on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope you're having a great day. 615-844-5600. Darren and Justin live in the Stryker Spare Family Fun Center studio. DJ Damon is alongside. We now say hello to Michael Gallagher. Nashville Hockey Now at MG Sports _ on X. Give him a follow for all of your Predators news, needs.
Everything.
Everything. He now joins us. Michael, how are we doing?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
End of the year, unfortunately, has come and now gone. Yesterday, players spoke first at 4 o'clock. Then the head coach, Andrew Burnett, and general manager Barry Trotz spoke to the media yesterday. Just a couple of takeaways that you had from yesterday. What were they?
Yeah, I think my main takeaway was there was a little bit of somberness in the room, not compared to how it was last season when it was just a very big disappointment and everything that went wrong last season, but it almost felt like they were disappointed in themselves. And I think the big thing was they felt like they should have won that Vancouver series. I thought they should have won that Vancouver series. I know a lot of people,
as did I,
thought that they should have. Yeah, they outplayed the Canucks in I would say 5 of the 6 games, arguably. And with the goaltending performance they got from Saros in Game 6, it felt like that should have been a win too. So I think there was some disappointment going on because they felt like they should still be playing. I mean, Andrew Burnett even said that was only the second time in his career he left a best of seven series feeling like the better team didn't actually win. And then just kind of some things that Barry Trotz was talking about. I feel like this is going to be another busy, active offseason. I mean, he used the word acquire a lot yesterday. He talked about getting faster in the top 9. He talked about making sure the money works and bringing back some of the UFAs and stuff like that. So I think this is going to be another offseason where Barry kind of tinkers with the roster a little bit. I also took away some of the younger guys were kind of put on notice. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they were thrown under the bus, but I feel like there were some challenges being handed out by Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz, specifically with Cody Glass and Philip Tomasino. You could include Yusuf Parson in there. And I think it also stuck out, too, that he said that Barry Trotz was talking about Askarov, and he said that he thinks he's close to being NHL ready, but he's also going to do what's best for his development. He specifically used the term, you can't over-marinate a goaltender. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Lankinen does come back, if Askarov has another year in the AHL. There's a lot to take away, but those were my main takeaways from what was said yesterday.
Okay, so I'm going to make you the GM. I want to know your opinion, not what you think. I mean, we can maybe get to that, but I want to know you, Michael. Because this is the same, you know, we talked about this on Monday, and you know, a couple of listeners got mad at us. And I said, look, I've been on a hamster wheel for a while. It's time to get off the hamster wheel. this team, you know, the celebrating playoffs is cool, and I'm not poo-pooing. Nobody wants them to be crap, right? Because it's a lot more fun to talk about a competitive team that gets the playoffs, than a team that's lousy year in and year out. But they've been going to the playoffs. That's 16 out of the last 20 years. And they've only made it out of the first round 5 times out of those 16 times. It's been a while since they've got out of a first-round series, and quite honestly, they haven't even really been that close, if we're just being totally honest, right? Since losing to, you know, well, not since, the, you know, when they got out of the first round, they lost in the second round in Game 7 to Winnipeg. They haven't been out of the first round, and I'm not sure they were close in any of the series after that, right? Dallas, Arizona, Colorado, Carolina, Vancouver. Yep. And I'm in agreements with you. They were the better team. They should have beat Vancouver, but they didn't. They lost 4-2. So, I mean, it's not like they were lost, you know, in an overtime in Game 7. So I'm asking you, it's basically the same thing, you know, battling towards the end, getting hot in February, in March, and being the 7th or 8th seed and, you know, bowing out in the first round. So what would you do to change that pattern?
I feel like we've been talking about this for, I mean, honestly, the last decade. It's kind of the question that you have to answer every year, and it's this team needs a truly elite scoring forward.
Yeah.
And Philip Forsberg, great year, phenomenal year, set the record for goals. Roman Josi is a Vezina finalist again. But you need more than just two people to carry your offense. And we saw Vancouver focused on isolating Forsberg, and I know he had 6 points in 6 games. But he didn't take over any of those games. He didn't take over the series like we're used to seeing Philip Forsberg do. And the same thing with Roman Josi. And Nashville kind of did that to a sense, too, with Quinn Hughes and Pedersen. But they still had Brock Besser. They still had JT Miller. They still had Dakota Joshua kind of step up. Nashville didn't have that Dakota Joshua-type player that could step up and fill in the gap when Forsberg was taken out of the game, when Roman Josi was taken out of the game. They need someone to put the puck in the net. And, I mean, we saw that. I think that's why they lost this series. They averaged 2 goals a game in this series. And if Forsberg wasn't putting up offense and if Roman Josi wasn't putting up offense, it really didn't come from anywhere else. Like, Nyquist chipped in a little bit here and there. Ryan O'Reilly tried. But they don't have that game-breaking forward that can go out and kind of take over a game if Forsberg is nowhere to be found. And to me, that's the number one issue. And they have to figure out a way. I think finding a score is the first thing you need to do. I think the second thing you need to do is to figure out a way to deal with teams like Vancouver where you have, you know, defensemen that are 6'5", 6'7", 6'8". I mean, Zadorov just pushed Tommy Novak around and abused him in that series. They need to find guys that fit with the how fast they want to play, yes, but they need to find guys that have a little bit more of a physical edge from the forward position, I believe, because that to me was another thing that stuck out in that series was Vancouver just kind of pushed Nashville around. And when it's hard to score goals when you're laying on the ice. So I think you need to find someone that can put the puck in the net, and you need to find guys that match up well with other teams that you're going to see in the playoffs, especially from a physical standpoint.
Yeah, and I said that on X over the weekend. I said they need to get bigger in their D-core. I felt like they got pushed around the series with Myers and Zadorov, and I felt like they, you know, some of these smaller defensemen that they've got, they're just not, I just don't think when it comes to playoffs that they're physical enough, that they're big enough to, because it's a different season. It's not games 38 and 41 and 12 and, you know, 68. I mean, you can play, regular season's completely different. It's a totally different season, and I actually got some pushback from people, which surprised me, because, I mean, honestly, like, I don't know what series you're watching, but exactly what you just said, Michael, Zadorov and Myers set out a game, and those big defensemen pushed them around.
Yeah, and it's not even just that they're big. It is that they're big, but they're also, they're physical.
Yeah.
They're defensively responsible. They know where they need to be. And I think it was either Ryan O'Reilly or Ryan McDonough. One of them pointed out that they would shoot the puck, and because they are so tall, like, they just naturally block it by being in the right spot at the right time. And if you look at Nashville's roster, I think Jeremy Lozon, who's 6'3", and Luke Shen, who's 6'2", they're the only two defensemen the Predators have that are above 6 foot tall. Roman Josi is listed at 6'1". I'm not buying it. I think he's closer to 6 foot. But you need a 6'4", a 6'5" defenseman back there. You need a Shea Weber type guy that's gritty, that, you know, like, yeah, Jeremy Lozon is known as the physical guy, and people try to avoid him when they come into the offensive zone. But you need someone like a Shea Weber back there that, you know, like, oh, here I go. I'm going up against him. He's going to put me into the boards. I need to get rid of the puck so I don't take a hit. Like, you need someone like that. And they don't have it right now. I'm not saying go out and sign, you know, two or three defensemen just because they're 6'4" or 6'5" or whatever. But I feel like they lost that matchup because they couldn't score and they had no one that could match up well against Vancouver from a size standpoint.
Yeah. So how do you get elite scoring without bottoming out, right? Without getting the number one pick or number two pick in the draft? How do you get elite scoring? Because they've been fantastic in 25 years of finding defensemen and goaltenders, right? They've done an unbelievable job when you think about and where they've got them in the draft, right? Other than Askarov, that's the only time they've ever spent a high draft pick on a goaltender. And when it comes to defensemen, think about all the really, you mentioned Shea Weber, second round pick. Kevin Klein, second round pick. Matthias Ekholm, I think, was fourth round. I mean, we could go on and on, right? I mean, yeah, they had Ryan Suter and Ryan Ellis and guys like that in the first round, but they found really, really effective and good defensemen that they used over the years, not in the first round. So how come they have never been able to crack that code when it comes to forwards, finding an elite scorer in the second round? How come they've never been able to do that?
I wish I had the answer to that question, because I would probably
would you sell it to him?
Your man than I am now.
Yeah, you'd sell it to him, wouldn't you?
I think it's because they've never been bad enough to draft near the top to get those elite guys. And the one year they were, that like they got screwed because the three top guys got taken right before them and they had to settle for Seth Jones. Not that Seth Jones was a bad player, but they got the top defenseman in that draft. They didn't really get, if they would have got Barkov in that draft, which is who I heard they were targeting, if they would have got Barkov in that draft, like, we're talking about a completely different outlook for this team since then. But they got Seth Jones, they flipped him for Ryan Johansson, and Ryan Johansson was great. I don't think Ryan Johansson was that elite number one center. I think he was a very good center to use in the top position, but he's not a Nathan MacKinnon. He's not a Connor McDavid type player. And those are the franchise changers. Those are the guys that they've never been able to draft. And I guess it's a good problem to have that you're not picking in the top five of the draft because you're never that bad. But also, if you're not picking there, the only way to get those guys is to have a really good scouting department, like you said, that can find those guys in rounds two, three, four, whatever. Or you're going to have to do something kind of crazy, like an offer sheet, or you're going to have to trade someone. I know UC Saros is kind of the big trade chip we're all talking about, whether they're going to trade him or not. But if you're not drafting high enough to get those guys, the only way you're going to be able to get them is you sign them in free agency, you go out and you make a trade, and you're giving up good players to get those other good players, or you're going to have an offer sheet. And I mean, if I'm Barry Trotz, everything is on the table for me. I know he was asked about an offer sheet yesterday, and he said he would tend to like shy away from that because he doesn't want to build up any ill will with any of the other GMs. But then he also said, when you're trying to win a Stanley Cup, everything's on the table. Yeah. So I think it's something he's thought about. I don't know if he would consider going that route. And there's a couple, you know, RFAs that might be worth it. Martin Natchez in Carolina, Seth Jarvis as well, Casey Mittelstadt. I mean, there's some guys that he could consider. But I think if he wants that truly elite scoring forward, he's going to have to part with someone like Saros or Askarov. And it's going to hurt giving up, paying the price to get one of those guys. But that's the only way I see them getting that, because there's not really anyone in this UFA class that's really one of those game-breaking forwards that we're talking about. I mean, I know Stamkos is a free agent. He's been linked to the Predators, but yeah, he's in his mid-30s. He's kind of past his prime. And I wouldn't pay what you're going to pay Stamkos.
So no.
I would get creative and look at other avenues.
And the Marner thing, I'm a hard pass. Hard pass on Marner. Not at that price.
Yeah, my thing with Marner, he makes almost $11 million a year. And
no.
Barry Trotz specifically said when he got here he was not going to be giving out big money contracts. There's no way you're gonna pay him what he's worth, and you're not to get Mitch Marner, you're gonna have to give up a lot, and you're gonna have to take on that $11 million a year contract.
No,
that's not gonna happen.
Hard pass. Okay, before I flip it to Justin, I guess, and I know it's hard to do this. So look, I'm saying this on the front end, okay? Comes with a caveat. I understand it's hard, but you would think over 25 years of doing this and drafting forwards, you know, like a guy like Kucherov was a late second round pick. Look at him. I mean, he's a star in the league. He's an elite, elite scorer year in and year out. He's a late second round pick. You would just think by dumb luck or dumb chance, you know, over 25 years, you'd fall into one of those guys. They just haven't, unfortunately, when it comes to forwards.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some good, decent players. I mean, Patrick Hornquist was a seventh round pick. Martin Erat was a seventh round pick. I'm trying to think of some other guys they got in late rounds.
Hornquist is a good one. Because he was Mr. Irrelevant, wasn't he? Wasn't he the last pick in the draft? I think he was.
Yeah, he was. And, you look at, like, Tommy Novak's not going to be that guy, but he was a third-round pick. I can't really think of anyone else. Colton Sissons was a second-rounder, but, again, we're talking about these 30-goal, 80-point players, and they haven't been able to find those guys. And when you look at some of the guys, Colton Sissons, Pontus Aberg, who else was there? I mean, there's a ton of guys that they drafted that they were high on, but they haven't been able to hit on those guys. And I don't know what the reasoning is for that. I wish I had an explanation. I think they're good at drafting late in the draft, but usually they're good late round picks that really hit are goaltenders and defensemen. Like Matthias Ekholm was a fourth round pick, Staros was a fourth round pick. They really thrive in finding those guys. I don't know if I don't want to call the scouting department out, but I wonder if the scouting department has been so focused on defense and goaltending that forward kind of got neglected or lost in the shuffle a little bit.
I want to ask you, Michael, about the role of the goaltender in today's NHL. And the reason why I want to ask you about it is because when the starting goaltender for Vancouver went down and it was obvious he could not play anymore, I thought for sure this is the golden opportunity that the Predators are looking for to win this series. I thought the Predators would be favored from every game on out because of how critical I thought the goaltender was to an NHL hockey team. Come to find out that my thinking about how an NHL hockey team works is probably about 10 to 15 years older than it should be. Because apparently, you can go out and win playoff series with second and third string goaltenders. And I'm just trying to figure out how does that work? How in today's NHL, because, you know, the NFL is what the other thing that, you know, has changed in a big way, that now the goaltender doesn't seem to be as big of a deal in that you could lose your starter and still win playoff series with second and third round guys or third string guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation to try to dissect and make sense of. And also, too, you got to look. I know Arthur Shelovs he's a rookie third-string goalie, but he played three really good games. I mean, he ended the first round with a 1.7 goals against average and a .938 save percentage. Like, it wasn't just like he went out there and didn't do anything. Like, he was
limited time, mistakes, though, Michael. He wasn't out there for 60 games doing that. A handful of games, right?
Yeah, I mean, he only had like 9 regular season starts before the playoffs started, but I think part of it is Shelovs played better than people gave him credit for, and even Casey DeSmith, he played pretty well too. I think that boiled down to what we were talking about earlier, the size of Vancouver and how hard Vancouver made Nashville work. And Saros is absolutely the kind of goaltender that can go out and steal you a series, but he's not going to be able to steal you a series when your offense is only giving you 2 goals a game. That's what it comes down to. So I think part of the answer to your question is, it depends on how good your goaltender is as well, but also, like, you need to have offense that can beat the other guys. Just because there's a third-string goalie in there doesn't mean it's automatically a gimme game if you're only putting up, you know, a goal and a half, 2 goals against them. So,
all right, let's talk about the next generation of goaltender for the Predators, and that is the Scarf, who, of course, is still in the minors here. There is some talk, and you heard it yesterday directly from Barry Trotz, about bringing him, or is it the more reps he gets, the better he is? Can you bring him in at age 22 and have him be your starter from here on if you're the Predators?
Yeah, if we're talking about Askarov being NHL ready to take on a starter's role, I would say no, right now, no. If we're talking about him being NHL ready to take on 20, 25 starts and be a backup to Staros next year, absolutely, I think he's ready for that. I mean, there's not really much left for him to prove in the AHL. He was second in wins there. He was third in goals against average and save percentage. Like, it almost looked at times when you'd watch some of the games as if he was bored, just kind of standing around waiting for something to happen. And when you get to that level, when you're too good for the AHL but not quite good for the NHL, that's where you run into, like, okay, do we trade Staros and move him up if he's not quite ready but we have nothing left to do with him? And I think that's kind of where the Predators are at now. I think the key to this offseason hinges on Kevin Lankinen. If Lankinen gets a starting offer somewhere else and he leaves, then it makes logical sense to promote Askarov, have him be the backup to Staros, have him start 20-ish games somewhere in there, and you kind of roll with it, and you kind of approach it like you had when you had Saros and Rene back in 2017, 2018, 2019. You kind of build off of that. If Lankinen doesn't get that starting job and he wants to come back, I think there's nothing wrong with having Saros as your 1A, Lankinen as your 1B, and having Askarov in the AHL for another season. But that's really, I think next year is kind of the last year you can really get away with that, because Askarov is going, after one more full season in the AHL next year, he's going to be ready. And he's going to force your hand just because of how good he is. He almost did that this year. I mean, Barry Trotz was entertaining trade offers at the deadline because there were teams interested in Lankinen, and Askarov looked like he was ready for the NHL at that point. So I think it's interesting to see what happens. But I think whether Lankinen gets that starting offer somewhere else or not, that kind of holds the key to this whole thing. Askarov can absolutely come up next year, be the backup, start 20 games and be fine. And then you have to worry about, okay, is Saros or is Askarov the full-time starter going forward after that?
Do you think Lankinen will get a crack at being a starter, either here or somewhere else? What's your gut feeling?
I want to say yes, because he's good enough to be – he could be a starter on, I would say, at least 7 or 8 other teams in the NHL right now. And unfortunately for him, those starting opportunities are probably going to come on some bad teams like the Sharks or Utah or somewhere like that. Like, it's going to be one of those teams that it's towards the bottom of the standings. There's not really a lot going on. And I think for Lankinen, he's going to have to decide, do I want to be a starter on a bad team or be a backup on a good team probably going to the playoffs?
Mm, yeah. It's still weird to hear Utah, by the way. Well done.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you so much for the visit, as always. I think it's going to be an interesting offseason. I don't think it's going to be boring, which will be good for us and you. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Michael Gallagher covers the Predators at MGSports_ on X. And you can follow his work at Nashville Hockey there. And you can hear his work on Nashville Hockey Now. So he covers the Predators. Does a really good job. And there was a lot to dissect from yesterday. Wide open the rest of the hour if you want to get involved. 615-844-5600 is how you can do so as you listen to The McFarland Show here on WNSR. BuyAndTow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit BuyAndTow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473. BuyAndTow.com. That's BuyAndTow.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Figueroa.
And I'm David Figueroa. Over 30 years ago, my brother Greg and I set out on a mission to offer the world a better hot sauce.
That's right, David. We made Melinda's thicker, hotter, and better than ordinary hot sauces.
And now we have 32 exciting and delicious sauces that hot sauce fans are obsessed with, like our ghost pepper sauce, our Thai sweet chili, and our best-selling black truffle hot sauce.
Melinda's also has 5 spicy ketchups made with real sugar and no added junk like high fructose corn syrup. People ask David and I, what makes Melinda so good? That's easy. We think like chefs do. Instead of burning someone with hot peppers and vinegar, we use fresh plant-based ingredients and the finest chili peppers perfectly blended to set your mouth on flavor.
Go to Melinda's.com to find our line of craft condiments at Walmart and other fine retailers. And right now, get 20% off our award-winning sauces with code SPORTS at Melinda's.com. That's MELINDAS.com. Melinda's.com.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The battle for a 7th straight division crown starts right now. And the East already knows, don't sleep on the Atlanta Braves.
Swung on, hit into left field, base hit. Here comes Michael. He's going to score. 5-4 Atlanta.
tonight, Truist Park will be rocking for the second time against the Boston Red Sox as Michael Harris and the Braves take the field in Atlanta.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6.05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Five-State Forecast. Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan Forecast. For today, it's going to be partly sunny. Thunderstorms are likely, the high 86. Variably cloudy, widespread thunderstorms tonight, low 66. Sunshine to thunderstorm in spots Thursday, high 84. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
You're listening live from the Strike and Spare Studios, downtown Music City. It's the McFarland Show.
Atlanta Braves baseball tonight. 6:05 is when the that's all, folks. 6:05 is when the coverage begins. 6:20 first pitch down at Truist Park. Braves, Red Sox. Chris Sale going against his former team.
There you go.
Pivetta will be on the bump for Boston. Back here on the McFarland Show, live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio, 615-844-5600. Let's go down to Columbia. Nate is up next. Nate, what's up?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, Nate.
Well done on the text line, by the way. Nate said a cicada bug must have gotten me on at the end of that first segment.
Now, I told Damon on the phone, or while I was on hold, that we're going to have a cicada NATO tonight, probably.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully
not.
You know, like Sharknado?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
Maybe they'll just get washed away? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I was just trying to make a joke.
Nate, wait till your,
didn't work.
Wait till your daughter is old enough to understand everything you're saying, sir. Your dad jokes are going to be primo stuff, man. Prime stuff. You're going to be prime dad joke guy.
Maybe she'll write a book one day on them.
Never know.
But, guys, and Darren probably understands where I'm coming from and know where I'm going with this. I just don't see the Preds being able to get the elite scorer that they desperately need without either drafting or offer shooting. You are not going to trade an elite goal scorer. I mean, I'm not apologizing for that. Usually people say, I'm sorry, but I'm not, because teams don't do that.
Yeah.
And we heard it from Michael. This team has always been about defense. How much has the scouting department actually changed? And I'm not trying to call for people to be fired. It's just maybe there needs to be a little bit different mindset in the scouting department.
It's an interesting question, because that's what I keep throwing out there. How come they've been so superior at drafting things on the back end, right, when it comes to the decor and goaltenders, but yet it is just unfortunately not translated in 25 years with the forwards and wingers? I mean, they just haven't been able to hit the home. You know, they've done all right. I mean, you know, the Radulovs and, you know, Hornquist, as Michael said, you know, which was a Mr. Irrelevant last pick in the draft. Like, those are good players. Good, but we're talking about elite, right? We're talking, like, again, my example, Kucherov for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Dude is good for 100 points a year. He was drafted late second round by the Lightning. Like, you would just think by dumb luck, and by all the draft picks they've made over 25 years, that one time that would have happened, you know, with somebody up front. Instead, it seems like it only happens on the back end. That's all. And I know it's not easy.
And, I mean, another thing, I can't remember if Michael said this or not, but I was listening to one of the podcasts that he's a part of. I'm sorry, but I'm going to name drop here, The Gold Standard. It's a great podcast if anyone ever wants to listen to it. They were talking about how, and I can't remember his name, but there's talks in the KHL that the player that the Preds have in the pipeline might defect to Russia. I mean, how many of these can you really have happen? Because was it Rads that defected Darren? I can't remember the other one.
Yes. Yeah, we know that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. But yeah, I mean, how many times can you have that happen? And I don't know. It just gets frustrating.
Yeah, well, I mean, can you imagine Barry Trotz? He's going to lose his mind. I mean, you know, that means he's been a part of every time the Russian player has defected back to the KHL. Russians.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's why I was so staunchly against Radulov coming back the second go-around. I was completely against it. I was in the minority. Everybody was crushing me for it. And, you know, I wasn't happy to be right, but in the end, I was right. They should have never dabbled with him in the second go around because it ended up biting him in the butt out in Arizona in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens this offseason, but yeah, I just hate that the Preds are never bad enough to get better picks. But I mean, yeah, you don't always want to be terrible, but it's a fine line to walk.
It is. It's tough. You're right.
You're right, Nate. You're absolutely correct, sir, that they've got to find a way to make do with mid-round picks, which can be a tough place to be in because you don't want to be terrible, awful. You don't want to put your fans through it.
What you ultimately want is really like what the Texans just did, right? 2 years stinking and then boom. Right back to being really good, at least we think. Well, we know. They went to the playoffs and won a game.
They were good 1 year, at least.
Yeah, and we'll see if they are, you know, a second year. But they didn't have – it's not like they had to deal with 5-6 years of, you know, torture being the worst team in the league. It was like 2 years of stinking, and then boom, quick – you want it to be quick. I mean, everybody wants – they got a business to run. But, you know, I understand what Barry's saying, too. It's not easy, right? It's not easy just because you say, oh, we're going to suck for, you know, 2-3 years and we will, you always turn out to be good afterwards. That's just not the case with a lot of franchises. No. So, Nate, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm good one, guys.
All right, you too. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour next.
And now, SunSpace Sunrooms RVM Development are proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by SunSpace Sunrooms RVM Development. For maintenance-free enclosures, sunrooms, screen rooms, patios, and more, give Russ a call today and ask about their senior military and first responder discounts. 423-225-2414. 423-225-2414. Or visit sunspacesunrooms.com. That's SunSpace Sunrooms RVM Development. They're professionals who care.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab of Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
They say health is wealth, and I could not agree more. That's why if you or somebody in your life is living with everyday aches and pains, I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps fight pain naturally. Naturally. Now that's a big deal. Developed by its doctors, Relief Factor's unique formula of ingredients all work together to help support your body's response to inflammation. Instead of masking pain for a couple of hours, Relief Factor actually helps reduce or even eliminate your pain for good. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, if you're looking to feel better, live better, give Relief Factor a try. In 3 weeks, you will know if it's working because you'll feel it. I was sent Relief Factor for me to try. I've been taking it every single day, and I do feel the difference. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order. Don't let pain tell you how to live. active. Fight back naturally with Relief Factor. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Tight and straight for Legarius Sneed. I'm going to give you who he went up against in the 2023 season. Justin Jefferson, arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Two catches, 14 yards. A.J. Brown in Philadelphia. One catch, 4 yards. Stephon Diggs, one catch, 3 yards.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
The McFarland Show. Video streaming live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube from the Strike and Spare Studio.
Steve Lehman, News Channel 5, will join us to be in the second hour of the program. We'll get into all things local with Steve, including some Titans talk. They have yet again another receiver in the room, Tyler Boyd.
There you go.
As we mentioned yesterday on the show. So, and by the way, there's more reports that they may not be done still.
You can't have too many. That's what the coach says.
There's stuff out there swirling like, maybe Rand's looking on the defensive side of the ball.
Well,
we can ask Steve about that.
Little help.
Man, it's been a very, very active offseason.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the more active offseasons they've ever had.
Well, you needed to have one.
Of course.
In order to change the kind of things you're looking to change. You couldn't run back out there with the same group. So,
and you had the money to spend.
And you had more money than they've had to spend in a really long time. And hopefully more money than they're going to have to spend, you know, going to have to spend in a really long time. You only get that much money being bad, and they weren't good. So, you know, this is great, and it's much needed for the team. I think it's much needed for the fan base. We're going to see something different this fall, I think. So I'm excited. I'm excited for preseason. Let's go. I want to see it.
I think it's time for a new era.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think we've seen.
We've seen it.
25 years was enough.
We've seen it. It was all right.
It was good, but
run the ball. Stop the run.
The league has changed. If the league hadn't changed, it would be different.
Oh,
different story.
Oh yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Hour number two. We'll start things off with Steve Lehman. We'll do that next. As you listen to the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
I'm Michelle Franzen. Severe storms in the nation's midsection leaving their mark. Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer touring damage of a reported tornado south of Kalamazoo.
Well, we feel really lucky that people lost their lives. We know that a lot of people lost everything.
There have been reports of 40 tornadoes across 11 states in the past few days. The UN says no aid has reached the Gaza Strip today, despite Israel saying it's reopened a border crossing. The U.S. announcing it's paused some bomb shipments to Israel over concerns of Israel's operations in Rafah. And pro-Palestinian protests continue at college campuses. Police moving in to clear encampments at D.C.'s George Washington University overnight and arrested 33 demonstrators. The Olympic torch. Now on the ground in France. It arrived in the southern port of Marseille on board a majestic ship from Greece. French Olympic swimmer Florent Manadou was chosen as the first Olympic torch carrier. This is ABC News.
Omaha Steaks Spring Sale is the perfect time to get fired up for spring grilling. Head over to omahasteaks.com and save on all your favorites or discover something new. Plus, when you use promo code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. With 50% site-wide, you're going to want to hurry before the sale ends. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code QUALITY to get an extra $30 off at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop.
Listen, you can't handle the truth.
It's about to go off.
Live from the WNSR Strike and Spare Studios.
Just a bit outside.
Now back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Show me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Second hour of the McFarland Show. We're live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Darren and Justin here with you. Don't forget, every day you can watch the show as well. We get dressed up and everything. Justin salutes you sometimes. I'll wave. You may even get a wink. Who knows? Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch is how you can do that. You can also interact with us on our YouTube page. Let's head over to News Channel 5, where Steve Lehman is standing by. He may be there now, but this weekend, on Saturday, I have a feeling he's going to be out there talking about horses at Iroquois Steeplechase. Is that true, Steve?
That is indeed Friday and Saturday. I was just going to ask, you guys talk about dressing up. I was wondering if you were going to dress up with me in, you know, full steeplechase attire for Friday and Saturday.
I have given up on steeplechase because every time I decided to go over the years, it was crappy weather. It rained and it was muddy and nasty. And I didn't enjoy that. And I was like, you know what? It's never nice when I go. So I just stopped going.
You know, judging by the forecast, I'm not sure if we're going to avoid the mud. But I think the actual day on Saturday looks pretty promising this year.
Good deal. So you guys will have coverage on News Channel 5?
We will. We'll be there all day Friday afternoon getting set. We've got a special show that gets you set for Steeplechase and sheds a lot of light and spotlight, as it should, on Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital. And so we'll get you set then, and then we'll be out there Saturday as well for the races.
A big hearty congratulations for Belmont assistant Tyler Holloway, who just landed the CPA job, basketball job.
Yeah, really cool. I'm fired up for Tyler because he's such a great guy, and he's got a young family, beautiful wife, young kids. And so I think this will allow him to spend a little bit more time at home while also running his own program. And obviously he's got a deep faith and loves working with kids and stuff. So I think the situation works well. And, you know, Darren, I think there may also be, I'm not speaking for Tyler at all here, but I think there also may be a little bit of a case that will we see a few more college coaches that maybe don't love the current state of the game, that are thinking, if I want to make the impact that I originally got into this profession for, I may be better off to be at a really good high school job where the continuity and the guys I have in my program is more consistent. Maybe. So we'll see. But I'm certainly excited for Tyler because he's a great guy, and here he has the opportunity to lead a really, really good program with good history, a lot of great people around that school, and I think he'll have more time to be home with his kids as well.
I'm kind of bouncing around before we get to the Titans. It looks like WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert recently just visited Nashville, and she obviously came away saying really, really good things about our city. Shocking, I know. And it looks like the league is definitely prepared, especially now with what's going on, right, with the Indiana Fever. I mean, and now you get the news they're going to start chartering flights. I mean, Halen Clark is probably going to change this league, and it's gaining popularity by the minute. They're ready to expand, and it seems like from everything you keep reading that Nashville is one of those cities they would love to be in. How do you think ultimately this is going to play out? What's your gut feeling on that story?
Yeah, what's amazing is I feel like Caitlin Clark is changing the league before actually playing
it. I know.
Just the idea of her even stepping into the league, Steve, has gotten people excited about what it is.
I turned on SportsCenter, I think it was last week or over the week, at the end of last week or over the weekend, and they were covering an exhibition, or there was a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'm like, wow. Caitlin Clark is playing in an exhibition game, and SportsCenter is covering a preseason WNBA game. Now, that is called impact on a league.
Yeah, well, it's amazing the momentum they have. And there was momentum in the late part of the teens. Before Caitlin Clark even came on the scene, women's basketball was growing in popularity, and the TV ratings were going up. But then all of a sudden, you got those eyeballs, and you got a transcendent talent and personality like Caitlin Clark, and it has just led to a meteoric rise. And now, luckily for the WNBA, probably a meteoric rise in their media rights as well, which is why they can do things like promise charters and some of that stuff moving forward here. And I think you're going to see increased salaries as you move forward as well because of that. So all of that is good for the game, and I think probably good for Nashville here too, because you weren't in on the struggling years at the front end, and now that the league is taking off, they're very interested in Nashville, which has already taken off in its own right. And, guys, I'll tell you what, if you are asking me right now where our next major league professional sports franchise comes from, I think the most likely first option is the WNBA. And I still think we've got a great shot to get a baseball team at some point. But let's be real.
I'm with you.
You got to find the infrastructure there. You got to find the spot. You have to find the blueprints. You got to get the team. You got to build. You got to probably get some money from the city some way, somehow, as much as they say they want to do it with all public dollars. You could get someone a franchise here and play in Bridgestone Arena, and that could come together very quickly. And so if you're looking for that next team, I think it's likely the WNBA, given the momentum that the city of Nashville has and the excitement that the WNBA has about the city.
I'm with you. I think if I was – if I was betting on it right now, I would bet on a WNBA team before an MLB team happening in this city first. So let's just go real quick before we shift gears. Let's just say it happens. Let's say they get an expansion team here. How do you think ultimately it would do in this market?
I think it'd do well because I think there's a lot of people around here who have kids, obviously. And if you have a daughter, especially a daughter who's into sports, I can't imagine a better place to go in terms of professional sports right now to let them see what they could potentially be someday. And I think that's really cool to have those types of role models. I think there's enough corporate backing here that was probably different maybe 20 years ago when the Predators even were trying to get their footing in the city. I think it's just changed with all of that. So I think they would do well here, especially if they had a marketable star like a Caitlin Clark or a Cameron Brink or even a Camila Cordoso or some of the other people we saw at the top end of this year's draft, let alone stars from past years like a Breonna Stewart or a Maya Moore, whoever it may be. So I think it would do well in this town. And, guys, let me just say one other thing about this point, too. This is where we should be as the city of Nashville right now, too. And, again, nothing against baseball. Baseball was my first love. I would love to have a team here. Selfishly, I want every professional sport to be represented in Nashville because it gives us more options. But Nashville itself is such a good community right now where you have Fortune 500 companies basically banging down the door to come in and put their headquarters or an office here. That's what these professional leagues should be doing too. And so when you're looking at it from a Nashville perspective, if baseball wants to come here bad enough, okay. Give us the franchise, have the private partners or the corporate partners that will build the stadium and leave the taxpayers of Nashville out of it at this point. And that's what I think you potentially have with the WNBA deal is you could have a private ownership group come in and get the team, acquire the team from the WNBA, get an expansion squad, however they do it. And then you just work out a deal with the Predators in the city on working with inside Bridgestone Arena, and everybody wins. You get the extra team, an individual or a group out there becomes owners of a professional sport, and the WNBA gets into Nashville, and it doesn't require new infrastructure. If baseball is going to come, I think it's time for the city to play a little bit of hardball there and say, if you really want to be in Nashville as bad as you seemingly say you do, what are you going to do for us to be here?
Yeah, I think they're already doing that. Justin, before you start up the Titans talk, why don't you pass along some weather info?
Yeah, you know, Steve and I both work in the television world, and right now both of our stations are in what's called wall-to-wall coverage because there is a tornado warning that is happening in Robertson County. We believe there's certainly a possibility that a tornado could be on the ground in either Springfield or Coopertown. Now, the tornado warning is only going to last another few minutes to around... Actually, they've just extended it. They've just extended it until 3:45. So it was set till 3:15. Now it's set until 3:45. So if you've got friends, family, loved ones up in that direction towards Spring Hill, maybe over eventually into places like Cross Plains or Orlando, just heads up, they may want to shelter down and try to figure out exactly how to stay safe with something like this. A tornado warning, as I go back to my... you know, meteorological, you know, weather days and learning about things. Tornado warnings are typically only when a tornado, someone's actually seen a tornado on the ground, or there is a radar indicated tornado. In other words, the radar indicates that the conditions are ripe for a tornado to be here at this particular spot. So I'm unsure if this is radar indicated or if someone's actually seen one. One thing's for sure, certainly some cause for concern for folks up there in Robertson County. Again, tornado warning until 3:45 now for Robertson County, including places like Coopertown and Springfield in particular, that are seeing the brunt of this particular storm. So we'll continue to watch that. And if you're up in that area, obviously, please shelter. Take shelter. Steve, tough to transition over and back into sports talk when we go to something like that.
Hey, you did well there, by the way.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. I've had some experience with that. I wanted to ask you about the latest move for the Titans to add another wide receiver to this group, and really not so much about the addition of the wide receiver, but what this means for Treylon Burks, who went from the number two receiver on this team last year to maybe number four now on this team. I mean, you're talking about what a difference a couple of years makes. What is he thinking about right now, and is it already decided what his future is going to be?
Well, first off, there's no maybe about it. He is number four, at best, on this roster in terms of the wide receiver position, and I think what it says is Treylon Burks is going to have to earn everything that he gets, and I think Nick Holtz basically said as much to us about that a few weeks ago before they even signed Boyd, and that was just with Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins in the building. And so obviously if you're Treylon Burks, the first thing you got to do is you got to be 100% healthy, and you got to be in shape, and you got to be ready to go when you come in. I think he was last year. I think he was poised to have a decent season, and then the concussion really derailed things, obviously, in early November. So he's got to do his job off the field to come in ready to perform and prove what he can do. And then let's be honest, he probably needs a little bit of luck here too, because I don't think all of his injuries, the very beginning stuff, his rookie year, I think you can blame him for maybe not being professional enough coming in and being in the right shape coming in to some of those OTAs and training camp. But I think his actual injuries within the seasons have been largely bad luck stuff that you can't really control. It's not a bunch of soft tissue stuff. It's been two major concussions, a bad ankle injury, things like that. So to some degree, he just needs some luck that he can actually be out there and play for 15 or 16 or 17 games this year and try to put up some numbers. On the flip side of that, guys, maybe for the first time here, there's no pressure on him, because no longer do you have to look at him as the guy that has to live up or replace A.J. Brown, because he's not going to be that guy. They're going to get the production from DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd. And so Traylon Burks just has a chance to show what he can do. And if he gives you maybe a 100-yard game here or there throughout the season, or fills in if one of those guys goes down and has a little bit more of a role, I think you can get really excited about that. But now all the pressure is absolutely off of him, and he has to prove that he belongs in a rotation of NFL wide receivers that right now is one of the better units in the league, 1 through 3.
Tyler Boyd took a significant pay cut from what he normally makes to get onto this roster. Why do you think he did that?
That's a great question. I don't know if he just didn't see the right fit somewhere else. I don't know if maybe he feels somewhat indebted to Brian Callahan and really wants to be in that offense. And maybe he thinks if he comes here with Callahan, he knows exactly what he's going to do and deliver this season, which maybe allows him to get a bigger payday next offseason. I could see some logic without that, but mainly I think the big thing I get from this, guys, is that Brian Callahan loves Boyd within his offense and how he fits and the job he does as a slot receiver, but also the versatility he has to do more than that. And I think Boyd appreciates the way Callahan used him within that offense and probably the way he treated him as well. The other thing we probably haven't talked about enough with him, guys, is he is a terrific wide receiver, and he fits a great role, no question. But if you talk to people around that Bengals team, he was instrumental in letting some of the younger guys come along, be a mentor for Joe Burrow, be a mentor for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and to changing that culture from a team that was one of the worst in the league when he got there to a team that ultimately played in a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. He gets a ton of credit from people in Cincinnati for being that type of a team-first leader within the locker room. And when you think about the culture that Brian Callahan is trying to turn around here, that's an enormous factor in that acquisition beyond what he does on the field.
It is going to be very interesting to watch and see what they do there. Now, we know that they still need some help on defense. This team is still looking for safeties, as far as I know. At least that's what all the reports say. I also found it interesting, Steve, they didn't draft a tight end of note anyway, or sign a huge tight end in the undrafted. Not that you can really do that in the undrafted world. Everybody's kind of an unknown there. But they didn't spend a draft pick on either one of those positions, on safety or tight end.
Yeah, I thought they could do either there.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about the safety position. I think, one, they like Josh Wiley and they like Chigakonkwo.
Okay.
I don't think either of those guys are going to come in and be Travis Kelce all of a sudden next season, even because the offense is changing. But I think they feel like they can get production out of those guys. And then if you find some other guys that help you in blocking and special teams, you can be okay at that position. And, oh, by the way, we were just talking about the wide receiver position, which is now an area of strength for this roster. So maybe there's a little bit of pressure off of the tight end group for producing as wide receivers because you have so much potential production at the receiver slot. That said, to me, they've got to find a safety.
Yeah.
Because it is Amani Hooker and nobody that is proven back there. You just have to have a guy that you can count on going out there and performing on Sunday. And he doesn't have to be a world beater, but you got to find a guy who can come in and just give you consistent reps at that position. And those guys are out there. If you're asking me for a tight end that you would find that's a veteran that maybe gives you that presence, I don't know who it is right now. But if you look at that safety position, I mean, let's see, it was Justin Simmons, it's Marcus May, Jackson's out. You've got some guys who are out there that you could go and maybe strike a deal here in the next few weeks or maybe even before training camp that could help you out there. And I think that's something that Rand Carthon is not only looking into, but I think that's something he's set on making sure happens at some point.
What are we expecting to hear tomorrow from the next couple of days? First of all, I'm still enjoying all of this wonderful media access that they're continuing to pour upon us here. It felt like we went much longer, and maybe the perception is just different here, Steve. I feel like we didn't hear from the previous bunch this much. Maybe we did, and maybe it was just my imagination, but, what are we expecting to accomplish over the next couple of days as far as hearing from this football team again?
Well, I'm really excited to hear Brian Callahan's take on the Tyler Boyd situation, one, and I hope that maybe we hear from Boyd himself in the next day or so with it as well. Will Levis is also scheduled to speak tomorrow. How excited must he be, guys? He was on his back 45 times last year, and he didn't really have anybody to throw it to. And now he's got a line, which at least from the center over to the left tackle, you think you'd be pretty excited about what the future of that looks like, if not at least from week one this season. And now he's got three bona fide weapons at wide receiver, plus the guys he's got back from last year's roster. You got to think he's pinching himself as he's walking into workouts here this offseason. So excited to hear what he thinks and also just his progression within Callahan's offense. And then when it comes to Friday, I think the biggest thing I'm looking for is one, J.C. Latham, who you are projecting as that left tackle guy. Number one, how fluid does he look essentially on day one working from the left side? Does he look like a guy who is completely a fish out of water over there, or does he look like an athlete who's just playing a new position? I think that's something I very much want to watch. And also just how a guy like him and maybe Tavondre Sweat and some of these other drafted guys, they're going to be counted on this roster, but particularly this weekend when they're around a bunch of undrafted guys and tryout players, who steps up and leads? Who's a vocal guy in that group and maybe breaks the guys down or shouts out encouragement, those sort of things? I think that's important too, especially for those guys that you're investing in at the top of the draft, like a Latham or a Sweat. And I want to see if those guys do that in their first chance to put on a Titans helmet. And it won't be shoulder pads, but shelves.
Did you see the Tom Brady roast?
I saw most of it, not all of it. But yeah.
How awkward was the Belichick and Kraft up on stage? It was so awkward.
I give him props for being there. I thought a lot of the night was awkward. I guess I give everyone credit for being there. I'm not sure if that was the best of humanity or the best of comedy, but I give him credit for showing up.
It certainly hit the raunch factor, that's for sure.
Yes. That one's not going on News Channel 5 as a rehash.
No. It would be quite boring on CBS. You only get to hear about half of it if you're lucky. It's 3 hours long.
I mean, it would just be like Nikki Glass's thing would just be like one beep.
Yeah. She was probably the home run of the whole thing. She was really, really good. All right, Steve, really appreciate it. Enjoy Iroquois steeplechase on Friday and Saturday, and we'll talk to you here really, really soon. Thanks for doing this.
All right, Justin, I look forward to your outfit because I know Darren's not going to participate. I look forward to your outfit.
We'll see if I can get the suit you had last year, only if you let me have it there. Maybe, you know, I could roll that out there. But thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Hey, we can try and work something out. All right, stay safe, guys. Be good, everybody.
You too. Steve Lehman, News Channel 5. Appreciate him joining us. We will get you updated on the latest tornado warnings. And we're wide open the rest of the hour if you want to get involved. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line. We are getting some texts and some tweets, and so we can read that. We can also talk with you and, of course, keep you abreast of the weather situation in our area. You are listening to The McFarland Show here on WNSR.
And now, Kingdom Doors is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please visit USO.org and locate Military Care Package to see how you could help make a difference today. This message is brought to you by Kingdom Doors. For custom garage door installations, service, and repairs, give the pros a call today at 615-810-6415. 615-810-6415. Or visit kingdom-doors.com. That's Kingdom Doors. They're professionals who care.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
It's JB and the General.
Really, I'd say if a move isn't made within the next 48 hours after the season's conclusion, maybe that's your answer.
There, yeah, I agree. If this is not immediate, because it shouldn't have to be anything Candace has to think about. You know, she should be all in one way or the other. He's coming back or he's gone. Like, that decision should already be made. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Give us a call, 615-844-5600. The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
615-844-5600 on this Wednesday afternoon. Tornado warning for Stewart County until 4 o'clock. Tornado warning Stewart County until 4 o'clock. It looks like, Justin, most things are up north of us.
Yeah, north of the city, to be certain.
Like they're around the Kentucky border.
Yes, absolutely. Stewart County is right next door to Montgomery County, so right next door to Clarksville. Places like Dover are up there in Stewart County. Land Between the Lakes, if you're familiar with that area, that's going to be up there near Stewart County. So, you know, they're the ones that have got the tornado warning. And by the way, the warning is the more serious one.
Yes.
The warning is when either someone has seen, physically seen, a tornado, or there is a radar signature that suggests that a tornado is on the ground. We had one earlier for Robertson County, as well as Robertson County, which would include places like Springfield and Coopertown. However, it looks like that particular tornado warning has been canceled.
It has, because it was till 3:45.
It was
3:45,
and now. Now it looks like they've moved on from that.
Yeah, but there are a lot of tornado watches out there, which means the conditions could get right.
Oh, yeah.
Or could be right. And most of those watches that I can tell are for the next like five and a half hours. So
it was supposed to really kick in.
In other
after
words,
5
keep
PM.
Monitoring.
Oh, you would be crazy not to.
Yeah, the rest
no,
of
you,
the day.
You got to be watching it because things can develop at a moment's notice. And we have a next wall of something that's moving in here shortly.
Now, there's still a tornado warning for Robertson County until 3:45. So I just saw it. Stewart County until 4 o'clock. So they have not lifted that.
Okay. So it's still out there happening. So we'll continue to watch it here. No reports of any major damage yet. But, of course, it's early. It's early in the game, unfortunately.
Greg on our text line said, this is going back to our Predators discussion in the first hour. He said, is being a great regular season goalie Saros' ceiling? Can he reach that next level that a player must reach in the playoffs to be a serial winner? Honestly, I'm having doubts at this point. Look, I've made no bones about it. UC Saros is a really good goaltender. Is he great? I don't think you could ever call anybody great if they haven't done any level of winning in the playoffs. Sorry. Not sorry. He's been really good. Has he been great? No. He's knocked down zero walls in the playoffs. Is it his fault? No. I thought you said it best in the first segment. It's probably, I was saying along the same lines, but I didn't say it the way you said it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would agree with it. He's not the problem.
Yeah.
But I also think right now when you're trying to get back to really being a contender, making a run, I'm not sure he's the solution either, because right now he hasn't been the solution. Again,
no.
Not blaming him.
No.
It's not like he's been awful in the playoffs. No. But right now, it's not worked, okay? They just lost in six games to Vancouver, mm-hmm. which I thought, quite honestly, they were the better team, but they lost in six. They were swept the last time they were in the playoffs by Colorado, and they were the best team in hockey. So nobody's really going to say anything. Nobody's going to bat an eye about that. Then they lost in six to Carolina, and they just weren't really that competitive. I mean, you know, Carolina was the better team. They were just the way better team. That Carolina team was really good.
Yeah.
And then before that was what? Was it the Arizona, the COVID, the weird bubble?
Yeah, it was the bubble thing.
The bubble
whatever
thing.
That
Arizona team was.
I don't know how we trust anything from that particular era. It was a weird time in sports.
Okay, but still.
They still give away trophies.
Arizona
stuff,
won.
Know.
I mean, you know. I mean,
no,
again.
Listen, they gave away trophies. The trophies are, and the banners are valid. I'm not trying to mark anybody from that. I'm just saying it was a.
In fact, I think that was the first time. Wasn't that the first time they turned it over to him? Well, actually. Wasn't that the first time they turned it over to him? Because I think the Dallas series before that was Pekka. Well, it was, because I was there.
Yes.
And that was the first time, honestly, that was the first time, Justin, I was like, huh, this team is going the wrong, like, Dallas pushed them around. Dallas had their way. And that was the first time we had seen that. Because obviously the two previous years were President's Trophy, losing in seven to Winnipeg, and then Stanley Cup run. The year before that when they went lost to game seven to San Jose in the second round. So they had been in this like 3-year window where they had been looked really good.
Yeah.
The Dallas series was the first time I was like, wow.
Mm.
Like, I sat there in game one, I was like, huh. And by game two, I was like, they're not the better team. And I was surprised by that. They're not the better team. Like, Dallas is faster. They're pushing them around. They're dictating them. They're just the better team. And it played out that way.
Yeah.
That was and so I think that was probably the writing on the wall. And I get it. It was, do you panic after one season?
No.
Then the point is, it started basically, I don't want to say rut, because that sounds awful, because you're talking about a playoff team, but it started this. How about cycle? The cycle of one and done. You know, the cycle of
just
getting in the playoffs at the end.
Yeah,
and bowing out in five or six games.
Yeah, just not being good enough. Yeah. Good, not good enough. And you know, and there it is. Is UC Soros again? Is he the guy that's going to carry you over all the way to the cup? Not by himself, and not with the scoring, as I think Michael Gallagher mentioned. Two goals a game is not going to get it done in this NHL.
We're looking for Hart.
Well,
that was Barry Trotz. Was that Barry
that
or Andrew?
No, that was Barry Trotz.
Okay,
saying who they're looking for. You know, damn, it's okay. We've already introduced Coach. Let him in.
I was practicing. I'm sorry.
Coach wants to clearly.
Sometimes, buddy.
Listen, clearly, Coach wants to say something.
Barry, the floor is yours.
Barry Trotz.
We're looking for people that are winners. I use the term serial winners. That's what we're going to continue to do. Starting from today, obviously we're still in exit meetings with a lot of the players. We have a lot of free agents that are UFAs. We will talk to all the representatives. We'll have some cap restraints this year, so the numbers will all fit. So to ask who's going to be back and who's not, I can't even answer that because the numbers will have to fit. I would like to have every one of those young men back and then try to add some more pieces. But
The reports I've got, he's played robo.
So then.
Here's the problem. Do I believe that Barry Trotz knows what a serial winner looks like? Yes, I do. When you spend 24 years on the bench as a head coach and you do the winning that Barry Trotz has done, I think he's a Hall of Fame coach. When he's seen all these players, when he's prepared for all these players, or when he's coached all these players, do I think Barry Trotz knows what type of player it takes to win? in playoff mode in that new season? Yes, I do. Here's the problem, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan O'Reilly,
yeah,
after that series, said he sucked. Those are his words, not mine.
Jeez.
He said he sucked. He said he was not good. And he had a really, really good regular season, right? That first line of Nyquist and mm-hmm. O'Reilly with Forsberg, which those two additions are two guys that Barry brought in and identified as, you know, serial winner guys, right?
Yes.
Guys that are veterans, been there, been through all the wars. They produced in the regular season. The problem is, guess when they didn't produce?
During the playoffs.
When it counted the most.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been my whole thing.
So how do you, because he was right. Those guys sure. were during the regular season. They were an integral part to all the success the team had.
Mm-hmm.
But when it really counts, those guys were not there. They were not the, that was their, they didn't produce. Like you needed them to produce to get past that Vancouver series.
They're good role players. They weren't missing role players. They were missing another superstar. They don't have it. They've got one superstar who can score, another superstar who's the defenseman who's not dependent on to score but can do some scoring, but really that's not his role. So where's the second score?
Although I think he did lead all defensemen with goals this year.
Fantastic. But that's, you know, it's in the actual name of the position. He's a defenseman. They don't typically, and again, I'm the one that's the hockey novice here, they're not typically dependent on to score in the way the game is set up. That's not really what their role is. They can, but that's not really what they do. So they've got one guy who can score, Philip Forsberg. But what Vancouver figured out is once you isolate him and you kind of take him out, well, who's going to make us pay for taking out Philip Forsberg? Who's going to come back behind and score two goals because we concentrated too much on Philip Forsberg? The answer is nobody. Nobody. You got a couple of guys who can chip in here and there, but there's nobody else who can go out there and really do what needs to be done on a superstar level, or even just, not even a superstar. Forget that. Not a superstar. Just a star level. You don't even need a superstar. You don't need a generational player. You just need another guy who is a threat enough, an all-star. You just need an all-star level guy who can go out there and score. They do not have one. They haven't had one. It's not been their priority. It just hasn't. And if you look back, and Darren, well, you would know better than I do about this part. They have typically, and this is just me outside looking in a little bit, they focus in on one scorer at a time because, according to your testimony, they've been focused in on defensemen and goaltenders, which has left the door open to have one scorer typically on the team every year who kind of carries the load, then everybody else chips in. And that's not the way this NHL is constructed. They really needed somebody else to come back behind and put in a couple of goals a game, and they didn't have them on the roster.
Slappy on X tweeted at us and said, Preds scouts need to be held more accountable. 2014, Boston finished 54-19-9, lost in the second round of the playoffs, and in the 2014 draft, with the 25th pick, which was their pick, they drafted David Pastrnak. He's elite. I use the Kucherov example, late second round by the Lightning. David Pastrnak is another one, 25th. Now, it's not a second round pick example. David Pastrnak is a star. He is. He's elite. And they got him 25th. So that has been the confusing part to me, Justin. And again, I know it's an inexact science, but in that inexact science, they have been able to hit a lot of home runs on the back end that weren't the first pick in the draft or the second pick in the draft or the third pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Right? They have been able to find solid, if not elite, if not future Hall of Fame defensemen.
Yes.
Okay? So they have done a fantastic job on the back end. Why has that not translated in 25 years of finding the same type of guys, just forwards? Why haven't they been able to do that?
Has the game changed a little bit in the last 25 years? So maybe has the the thinking about how you evaluate those kind of people and how important that position is?
Well, they have certainly tried here recently. They have. They have put a heavy emphasis in the last 3 to 4 drafts of trying to find those scores.
Okay. So now, in the last 3 to 4 draft, that's not the last 25. That's no, the last 3 to 4.
True.
So
there's no proof right now that they have landed any elite score yet. Yes. Are there guys in the minors and in the system that they like and they covet? Yes. Is there any proof they're going to be elite? No. Not in my opinion.
If they were looking for an elite forward for the last 20 years, maybe they would have found one.
Maybe so. Maybe
but
so.
Maybe they haven't been fair. Looking for okay. an elite forward for the last 20 years. They've been saying that, you know, if they found one, that'd be great. But the the main priority has been, you know, these other positions because they thought that was the foundation for them winning games. You know, the Titans, just to switch sports here, the Titans drafted their elite, the three elite running backs we've had in this franchise have been first round, second round, mm-hmm. high second round.
Yep.
But, you know, they didn't draft their elite franchise running back in the 5th round. They didn't do that. They went out looking for them early and often, and when they found them, they plugged them in, they played, and they played through them because that's who they were looking for. Have they been looking for wide receivers like that? Not for real.
Well, they've tried.
But even the wide receivers.
They spent first round picks on them.
Yes, but even the wide receivers they tried fit their system. They didn't go out and find the most dynamic wide receiver. They went and found the wide receiver they thought would be good fits for them in their particular way that they like to do things. So it's philosophy is a big part to do with a lot of this.
All right, we'll step away. We'll take another break. We'll come back and make sure we've checked in on the weather. And we can also take your phone call. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line as you listen to the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City. Located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville double stack or the world famous Bar Lines grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the Bar Lines grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Hey, Tennessee. Jeff Fisher here. Ready for edge-of-your-seat football action? The Nashville Cats are bringing it to you live.
I'm Eli Gold, and we promise you an electrifying experience with every play. Arena football is back. It's furious and full of fun. Join us for the greatest show on turf. Secure your tickets today at thenashvillecats.com and get ready to cheer for your Nashville Cats.
The battle for a seventh straight division crown starts right now. And the East already knows, don't sleep on the Atlanta Braves.
Swung on, hit into left field, base hit. Here comes Michael. He's going to score. 5-4 Atlanta.
Tonight, Truist Park will be rocking for the second time against the Boston Red Sox as Michael Harris and the Braves take the field in Atlanta.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6.05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Give us a call, 615-844-5600. The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Keep a close eye on the weather this afternoon and this evening. Tornado warnings. Benton, Henry, Robertson, Sumner, Montgomery, Stewart, Christian, and Trigg County, Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
So all on the border, basically.
Everything north of places like Millersville and Goodlettsville, everything north of that seems to be under the gun. If you got friends, family, loved ones, whatever you got going on up there, just know they probably need to stay put for the next few minutes here while these storms continue to push through. And we're not done. There will be more storms back behind this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be active for the next few hours across many parts of Middle Tennessee.
So just keep it. And there's a lot of tornado watches. So, again, and those are out to like 9 o'clock. So, just again, keep monitoring the weather throughout the course of the day just in case something gets bad. Because I know some of the watches are around here and where we live. I saw Rutherford County has issued a tornado watch. So it's basically all around the mid-state. So
just
keep that in mind. When I asked Steve about, when we were talking about WNBA and MLB, kind of a race to who's first, would you agree with us? It seemed like both of us were saying if we had to bet on it, we're betting on WNBA here before MLB.
It's not even close.
Okay.
It's not even close.
So that's just obvious now at this point.
To me, it's just obvious.
Okay.
The city wants it here, and, you know, the city has a venue.
Well, it's, biggest. You're right. That changes everything.
It changes everything. If there was a ready-made 30,000-seat stadium waiting for a baseball team to move in, then sure, you know, the MLB becomes a much closer reality, but that venue doesn't exist. That makes it a lot tougher. The city has been, we've played it here on the show. The city has been has not been bashful about their desire for a WNBA team. They want one.
I know that soccer started off USL before it became MLS.
It did.
But if you really think about it, that happened all pretty quickly. It was all very fast, considering.
Oh, it was all on the plans.
I mean, this MLB topic has been going on for over a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been going on for, honestly, it's been going on for probably close to 15 years in this market.
Or longer, depending on who you're talking to.
So I kind of feel like this WNBA topic could kind of be like the soccer topic. Like, there is a chance it could be fast. In other words, we could wake up and say, the WNBA is going to put a team here in 2026. Oh, really? They're going to start playing in 2026?
It could come, yeah.
Because that's kind of what soccer, right? Soccer was pretty darn fast, I thought.
Soccer was pretty fast, but then again, what soccer had was city agreement. The soccer, because...
But they didn't have a venue.
They didn't, but they got the city on board. So they didn't have a venue. They decided, okay, we can go play the games over here at...
The Sound Stadium.
The Sound Stadium, which is owned by the city of Nashville.
And then Nissan.
And then Nissan, which is owned by the city of Nashville. And then they got help from the city of Nashville to build Geodis Park. They got the city on board pretty early in the process, which opened up doors to make the transition into being an MLS city a lot faster. And they promised a lot of money on their own, which they delivered. Because and this is something else I don't think people fully understand, but I'm going to speak it now. The way you see Geodis Park, yes, it is owned and operated by the city. But a lot of the things you see at Geodis Park is being paid for by Nashville SC themselves. Some of the city agreed to pay for certain amount of things, basic things. But some of the upgrades and things maybe you don't notice are paid for by Nashville SC and the Ingrams in particular. It's hard for me to put my hand how big certain things are, the way the lighting is in certain locations. It's tough for me to put my finger on it exactly. I'm just saying that if it was up to the city would have built a very
– some maybe bigger seats, dollars. Bigger concourses or
yeah.
more bathrooms or whatever.
You know, 30,000 seats.
Okay.
That wasn't –
okay, because it is the largest soccer-only stadium
the city of Nashville in the U.S. The city of Nashville didn't do that.
Okay.
That was something that that Nashville SC and the Ingrams, who own it, that's something that they wanted. They wanted this – soccer show palace. So the city of Nashville agreed to pay to a certain extent, but then said, okay, listen, if you want all this stuff, this other stuff, you're going to have to go for it on your own. And they did. They sprung for it because they wanted this particular...
They wanted the bells and whistles.
They wanted the bells and whistles, and so they agreed to pay for the bells and whistles that are over there, which, again, is hard for me to put my finger on it exactly. I'm just saying that the city built Nissan Stadium, right? Where do you need to go when it rains on the upper deck in Nissan Stadium? Where are you hiding at? Where are you going?
You're going
yeah.
in the tunnel.
Yeah, you know why? Because the city of Nashville built it in a way that was not they built it in a way that was cost effective at the time. They didn't build a lot of the other things that you probably would need in a stadium like that because they built it to be cost effective. They built it to get the team here, and that's what it did. Now they're finally going for all the tricks and the bells and whistles by going for this dome, but that wasn't the original intent of it. Doesn't have it because that was never the design to begin with.
Quite honestly, there's not very many hoops to jump through for a WNBA team.
No,
I mean it's really not.
No, they got the venue.
The franchise fee won't be insane. No. You'll have your venue, and you just need to find your ownership group and come to some agreements, and away you go.
You've got the political will. You've got the desire. I mean, it's you know. It can happen real fast.
All right, we'll step away, take our final break, come back, and put a bow on Wednesday's edition of the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Attention business owners. WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Warrior fan, can't believe I'm about to say it. You just got beamed. Devastating evening for the Dubs. Devastating, in fact, for anybody who was pulled for this Warriors dynasty. It truly did feel like the end of an era. And if not the end of an era, maybe the end of Klay Thompson's era at Golden State. What a terrible way to go. You got to feel for him. Disastrous night for a class guy and a rough night for a class organization.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
You're listening to The McFarland Show live on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Braves baseball tonight down at Truist Park. They're hosting the Red Sox. Chris Sale will be on the bump, 4-1 on the year. For Atlanta, Boston will have Pavetta on the hill, 1-1 on the season. So Red Sox and Braves tonight. The coverage begins at 6:05, 6:20, first pitch, and we'll see. I don't know. I haven't looked at the weather in Atlanta, but it is open air.
I haven't either.
So I'm assuming that they'll be all right, but I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either.
Speaking of weather.
Yeah. So we do have tornado warnings in place in places to the north of Nashville. Stewart County, Montgomery County, Robertson County, Sumner County, Trigg County, and Christian County, Kentucky are all experiencing tornado warnings right now until around 4 o'clock for the next couple of minutes. We'll see if they extend it or not. There is a tornado watch, which is different than the warning, a tornado watch in place for basically everyone under the sound of my voice until 9 p.m. tonight.
Yeah. Which conditions are right.
Conditions are right. The warnings are
Something's been spotted.
Has seen something somewhere that makes them think there's a tornado. Either they've seen an actual tornado on the ground or the radar, which have become very, very good, has indicated that there's a tornado on the ground according to what's called their radar signature, which is the hook echo. And it's a bunch of stuff. It's an indication on the radar that there's probably a tornado here at this spot. So that's what makes these dangerous. A lot of schools have decided to lock down and stay in place until the storms pass. So if you're in these areas, again, north of Nashville, just know this is going to be with us for the duration of the evening. And hopefully everyone's okay. That's the biggest thing. Hopefully there's little to no damage.
Justin, I have good news on the way out.
And that is?
The Titans are talking yet again tomorrow. Again.
They are.
They're just a talking bunch now.
They're talking
now the
Thursday
Vrabel's gone.
And Friday.
They're just a bunch of talkers.
And doing it live, too.
Yeah.
They just let it go.
We're doing it live.
They just let it go. Out there on the social media, they just let it fly.
Will Levis is going to talk.
Yeah.
They're not scared.
Well, they haven't played in games yet either.
No, that's... always feels good in May.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see what happens after you call that play on 3rd-and-1. And let's see what happens.
Everybody be safe. I want you back with us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And we will see you then.